This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Parts of the Midwest are trying to recover today after violent weather spawned a number of tornadoes and some severe flooding overnight. A tornado leveled the post office in Buffalo Lake, Minnesota. Large hail was reported in Nebraska, and tornadoes also swept through several areas of South Dakota. Parts of Iowa were also hit hard by last night's severe weather. Meanwhile, southern Arizona's Aspen wildfire is still only 15% contained after blistering already about 25,000 acres of land outside Tucson. Gusty winds and dry weather have fueled the blaze that's now destroyed over 300 homes in the ski resort town of Summerhaven. Also in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a wildfire there sparked a power outage yesterday that left 16,000 customers without electricity. New Mexico's governor has declared a state of emergency. The British Prime Minister's communications chief, Alistair Campbell, is set to be grilled by the Board of Inquiry into whether the government misled Britons about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. Today's questioning comes after Campbell initially refused to appear before the Foreign Affairs Select Committee in London. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Alistair Campbell is the top spin doctor in Tony Blair's Downing Street office. He's set to explain his role in last September's dossier on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, which included a claim that a chemical or biological strike could be launched within 45 minutes of an order. The communications chief has been accused by some of sexying up the dossier by rewriting parts of the document after the intelligence services had completed it. Mr. Campbell will also be questioned about February's dodgy dossier, which he commissioned and which Foreign Secretary Jack Straw on Tuesday branded an embarrassment for the government. Suzanne Chislett, London.
President Bush is pushing Congress to reform Medicare now, he says. The Senate and House are working on plans to add a prescription drug element to the federal entitlement program. Mr. Bush says it's important to make Medicare a modern system.
We are making great progress on this issue. We have an historic opportunity to seize the moment and get a good bill done.
The president says he wants to sign a Medicare prescription drug plan sometime this summer.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
There's largely unanimous consent among analysts. The Federal Reserve will announce another rate cut today when it wraps up its two-day meeting. The benchmark federal funds rate's currently 1.25%, its lowest level in 42 years. Despite that, though, the number of home refinancings and mortgage applications last week was down. Meanwhile, the second largest mortgage finance company in the U.S., Freddie Mac, says it expects to restate earnings for 2000 to 2002 upward by as much as $4.5 billion. The company says a lack of accounting expertise and weak accounting and internal controls resulted in several errors by its staff.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
NASA has now released new videotapes and photographs recovered from the debris field left by the space shuttle Columbia when it broke apart on re-entry back in February. More from correspondent Rory O'Neill.
The Columbia 7 may have appeared larger than life, but through 10 hours of newly released videotape, they sound more like regular people, having a lot of fun.
Hey, better. Zero G baseball.
Relaxing.
Yeah, she's doing that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
And sharing special moments.
Good morning to my wife, Rona, the love of my life.
The new tapes are reminders of what everyone lost on February 1st. Rory O'Neill, Orlando.
And for the first time publicly, the members of the independent panel investigating the shuttle disaster have said the foam insulation that fell from the external tank during Columbia's liftoff is the most probable cause of that tragedy. There are still other tests, however, they say, that have to be conducted. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Think of your favorite child. Now think of your favorite child again in your car. What can you do to ensure that child will live to become a favorite adult? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
How do you protect your most precious cargo? Safety seats, which reduce infant death risk by 69% and toddler by 47%. Infant seats from birth to 1 year should be installed rear-facing in the back seat. These often convert to front-facing for toddlers under 4 years and 40 pounds. Booster seats are suitable for children 4 to 8. But not until a child is over 80 pounds and 8 years old are regular seat belts proper restraints. Whatever their age, when you think of your favorite children, picture them buckled up, then do it. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today, broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite, covering all of North and Central America from Alaska to Panama. And streaming audio on the internet with listeners all across the world. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're also broadcast on radiopower.org, and the show is archived at whiterosesociety.org. Our question for the first hour today, and we're going to stay with the media for a couple of hours, actually digging into this stuff, is the consolidation of the media hurting the quality of our news and endangering democracy? I think this is a real significant question. You know, if you want to drop into our chat room, we've got a bunch of folks already in there. Go to tomhartman.com, click on the show link, click on the chat room link. That'll drop you into the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. There's a button at the top that says chat, and that will pop open a really cool little chat applet where you can participate in the program live in real time. Usually we get a dozen or two people in there, and lively discussions, sometimes stuff that feeds the program things. You know, if you've got something you want to say but you don't want to call in, if you want to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Univision Corporation, Univision Communications, which owns 53 television stations and several recording labels, is intending to purchase the Hispanic Broadcasting Corporation, which owns 65 radio stations. Now, this is one of those examples of the kind of consequences that we see from this FCC decision, or what may end up being a non-decision with the whole thing of whether the House of Representatives and Senate are going to overrule the FCC or not, or, you know, how many radio stations should a single corporation be allowed to own? Does this harm democracy? Does it help democracy? Here we have a situation where Mr. Perenchio and his wife, he's the president of Univision. Basically, what these guys are trying to do is create the United States' largest Hispanic broadcasting empire. And he and his wife, Margaret, have given more than $1 million. I'm reading now from the Wall Street Journal last Friday's article, Hispanic Media Deal Assailed, Univision Opponents Wage Uphill Fight to Woo FCC Republicans. Univision's Mr. Perenchio and his wife, Margaret, have given more than $1 million to the Republican National Committee and other party campaign funds since 1999, making him one of the Republican Party's biggest individual donors nationwide. Executives from Univision and Hispanic Broadcasting have given more than $1.5 million in soft money to the Republicans. By comparison, his merger opponent, See, there's two companies that are vying for this thing. Mr. Alacarn has given only $60,000 to lawmakers and presidential candidates from both parties during that same period. During the presidential campaign, the brother of Hispanic Broadcasting CEO McHenry Titchener lent a plane so often to Bush family members and staffers that it was jokingly referred to as Bush Air by many Democrats. What kind of influence does this have? Is this crony capitalism influencing our media, the future of our media? Our guest for today is Carl Zinnmeister. He's editor-in-chief of the American Enterprise, the publication of the American Enterprise Institute. He writes an essay called The Bird's Eye that introduces the special theme of every installment. He also composes many of the magazine's short items and contributes occasional feature publications on topics like television, fatherhood, race, politics, suburban architecture, and school failure. Mr. Zinnmeister, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm pleased to have you here. Is the consolidation of the media hurting the quality of the news and endangering democracy? What are your thoughts
on
this?
You know, Tom, I have actually a different take on this. Let me first answer your question and then tell you what I think the real issue is. I would differ with the premise that there really is a consolidation taking place. We have more news options and opportunities today than we've ever had. I mean, when I was a kid, back in the ancient, you know, about 20 years ago, ancient history, you know, there were three national TV news networks, period. ABC, NBC, CBS, that was it. There were only a couple of national newspapers, and really almost none. The Wall Street Journal was available nationally, but the New York Times was not available in most parts of the country. There was no USA Today. The number of magazines was much smaller. There was no Internet, of course. The idea that we have less opportunities, less options, less niches for news today is, I think, completely spurious. Take as an example one of the alleged, you know, dangerous world global, you know, world straddling conglomerates, the whole News Corp, which of course owns Fox News TV, owns the New York Post, owns the London Times, owns some Australian newspapers. Again, they've had to sort of, by becoming a conglomerate, they've had to straddle three different continents to do so. They don't hold anything like a monopoly or even a substantial plurality of power over the news industry in this country. They are one little niche, one little voice among many others. So that's my first point. My second point is I do think we have a very, very serious homogeneity problem, if you will, with the news in this country. We do have too much uniformity, too much single poll argumentation, but it has nothing to do with ownership. It has everything to do with cultural point of view of the news presenters. And there's lots and lots of good evidence on this. We have survey research from places like the Times Mirror Center, which is a big media center, from places like U.S. News, from Gallup, from Harris, that show that the press corps, the journalistic corps, is remarkably and depressingly and worryingly uniform in its perspective, in its point of view, in the colleges they went to, and the parts of the country they come from. I think that is very unhealthy and
liberal
that,
in your point of view.
Well, you know, it's a little more than liberal. Yes, liberal is one part of it. If you look, for instance, at voting, again, these are not my numbers. These are good numbers from the Times Mirror Center. About 12-1 by a margin of about 12-1. Journalists consistently choose Democrats over Republicans. And I have no problem. This is a free country. People can vote for who they want. But I don't think it's healthy when the interpreters of our nation are so uniformly skewed in one direction. I mean, that's more skewed than the professoriate would be even on campuses.
Okay,
it's
well,
much, much more skewed than you'd find among, you know, corporate leaders. Corporate leaders are about 60-40 Republican versus Democrat. It's just way out of line with the political nature of the rest of the nation.
Okay, well, let's get back to that. I'd like to deal with your first point. You said that you think that we have this plethora, this an enormous number of variety. I remember when I was a kid, we must have been kids at the same time, in Detroit, where we lived for a while, there was the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News. And the Free Press was consistently the Democratic newspaper and reflected the opinions of the unions and the blue-collar workers. And the Detroit News was consistently the Republican newspaper and consistently reflected the opinions of the movers and shakers and big money in Detroit. And you knew when you were reading the paper which story you were getting. This was the case all across the United States. There were so many more newspapers, and they were with local ownership. Now here in Vermont, for example, the largest newspaper in the state, the Burlington Free Press, which is owned by Gannett. We have a situation now where six media corporations control the vast majority. More than 80% of all magazine revenue is controlled by 11 companies. How can you suggest that this is not a consolidation?
Well, easy. Newspapers are not where the action is. Newspapers are yesterday's mode of delivering news. I'm very fond of newspapers myself. I read three every day and lots more than that on an irregular basis. And I mourn the passing of newspaper competition and rivalry and bloom as you do, Tom. But that's a very special case. The problem with newspapers is people don't read them anymore.
Let's talk about radio. We have four companies now in the United States that control 90% of total advertising revenues in radio.
But they don't control the newsrooms. I mean ownership here is relevant, but it's not the big deal. They don't, first of all, control what's the news programming that's taking place in each of those individual stations. More to the point, if they are providing something which the public finds odious or unrepresentative or incomplete or troublesome, there are so many options out there. They're just not going to hold on to listeners. There is no captive audience. The people will go to the Internet. They'll go to television. They'll go to cable. They will go to print. They'll go to newspapers. They'll go elsewhere if they're finding something incomplete in what they're getting. Maybe particular businesses or particular newspapers or particular cities are having specific problems. But to make the case that nationwide we have some sort of bottleneck on news, I think is absurd on the face of it.
Right. I would suggest that there's a book called Into the Buzzsaw that you might want to check out. There's a situation, for example, in Florida where the Fox affiliate down there, they had two reporters working for it, Jane Aker and Steve Wilson, who did a story about bovine growth hormone in milk. Monsanto came down and said to Fox, please don't run that story. Fox told the reporters to change the story, actually demanded that they tell untruths in the story. They refused. Fox fired them. They sued, and they won $450,000 for wrongful termination. A jury unanimously ruled that Fox had demanded of them that they lie on the air and that was not appropriate reason for termination.
That's why they won the case, and God bless
them. And then it was appealed to a federal appeals court with a three-person court with two of the three being Republican appointees. Mm-hmm. And the federal appeals court ruled that they were appropriately fired, that the corporations who are in the news business have no obligation to tell the truth, and that if Fox wants to demand that its reporters lie on the air, it has that right. And Fox issued a news release calling this a vindication.
Well, yeah. Again, I have no idea what this specific litigation is. You know, it sounds like it'll come out in the wash. I mean, that's how you solve.
This was a year
things.
Ago.
That's how you solve these things. Is you sort of get the publicity out and you go to the court if necessary. And that's the oldest story in journalism, really. I mean, people are constantly asked to revise and rewrite. I mean, anybody who's been in journalism. I wrote a story last month for the L.A. Times that they asked me to add a really absurd sort of final sentence to that had nothing to do with my point. In fact, sort of violated my point when I was an embedded journalist in Iraq. And, I refused, said I wasn't going to do that, and we worked out a compromise. That's what happens all
sometimes
the time in journalism.
Yeah.
But, again,
the
thing that ultimately arbitrates this time is, again, if Fox wants to put out junk, you know, there's nobody locking eyeballs onto Fox. People will go elsewhere.
Well, in this case, this was a local television station, so there wasn't an elsewhere. This was the only station in that community in Florida. A lot of medium and small-sized towns have only one station.
Well, there's cable,
there's DirecTV.
I mean,
local news, this was a local news story. We're talking with Carl Zinnmeister, who is the editor-in-chief of the American Enterprise, the publication of the American Enterprise Institute, and Tim in Hartford, Connecticut, has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, Tim, we've only got about 30 seconds left in this segment. If you want to make a point quickly, or if it's going to be a little longer, we can hold both you and Carl on
over the break.
I'll make
a point real quickly, and if I can hold on. I would also like to say that, you know, there may be a larger amount of different options that are out there, but oftentimes they're reflecting the exact same news from the exact same sources, whether it's Associated Press or that sort of stuff on the Internet. And when you come back, I'd love to ask your guest where the American Enterprise gets its money from.
Okay, great. Carl, can you hang on until over this commercial break? We'll be back in about 3 minutes. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Here's the problem with most test drives. You don't really get
Tim
to test
gone,
anything.
Right?
You go around the block, maybe two if you're lucky, and the whole time a salesman's yapping nonstop, probably to cover up that weird noise that's coming from the engine compartment. Only one car company has the confidence to let you take a car home overnight and drive it on your terms. That company is GM. It's called the 24-Hour Test Drive. Drive it to work, to soccer practice, see what your friends think. There's no pressure to buy. It's a big decision. There's a lot of money on the line, and we want you to be totally comfortable with it. Of course, you have to have a driver's license. You have to have insurance. You have to have approved credit. I know, we're real sticklers. Oh, yes, you have to be 21. Just get to a participating dealer by July 21st. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24hour or call 1-800-508-1050.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Our quote for the day from Thomas Jefferson, a letter to James Curry in 1786. He said, "Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost." We're speaking with Carl Zinnmeister of the American Enterprise Institute, editor-in-chief of the American Enterprise. Carl, what's the website there for your publication?
We are at TAEMag, as in magazine.com, as in the American Enterprise Mag, TAEMag.com.
Great. Great. Two questions. One, the question that Tim asked earlier, you know, where is the American Enterprise Institute coming from? Where's your funding coming from? What are you guys about?
Well, the magazine operates as a freestanding business, and we, you know, like most small intellectual magazines, we are a shoestring operation. We have 30,000 subscribers. They pay cash on the barrelhead. We do not have free circulation beyond about 1,000 press subscriptions in New York and D.C., and so, you know, let's do the math. $28 a year times 30,000 subscribers, that's our budget.
Great. Okay. Steve in Santa Fe has a question. Steve, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm concerned about what's going on in the media, and it's not a matter of us liking the media or not liking. It's a matter of gaining the truth. And it's obvious, given the last few months, that Americans right now are not getting the full truth through the news. And that's because of the ownership of the media. We're getting painted versions. In fact, in some cases, all-out lies, supporting an administration that is now helping them even clinch down tighter on the media. It's obvious. I don't see how the guests can sit there and say that the owners aren't doing that. They're the biggest contributors to Bush, and now they're using the media unjustly to influence the American people.
You know, I don't think you've ever been near a newsroom, if you know anything about the way a newsroom works, but I can assure you that the guys that write the stories and that do the line editing they don't take marching orders from owners. I mean, I can see this kind of big-bellied, you know, cigar-chomping kind of boss that sort of, you know, sits in the newsroom and dictates the storylines for the next day. It just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry.
Why didn't we get the truth? Why have they printed lies that are just now becoming obvious to the American people is lies?
Well, if there was really a, you know, methodical attempt to, I don't know what you're suggesting, propagandize or put out false stories or to have a little conspiracy taking place that we're only going to give the peons these notions. You know, listen, we live in a free country where anybody can start a journal or a weblog or anything else. There will be other people providing the truth. So the question is, are the American people too stupid to know the difference between poor and good reporting? I happen to believe not. I happen to have great confidence in the judgment of the public and their ability to sort through these difficult things. I do not happen to share a lot of the premises, I suspect, of the last two callers, maybe of all your listeners, but that's not the point. What I think really doesn't matter, I mean, I will certainly make my views known in my editorials like any person will, but that really isn't what matters. What matters is how does the general American public react today? And I got very bad news for you all. The general American public is disgusted with the news media for quite different reasons. Again, I think we should just get away from my opinion or other people's opinions and get to the data a little bit. We have very good data on this. Let me give you some numbers here. By 58% to 38%, Americans now think that news organizations are more inaccurate than accurate. By about the same ratio, people now, Americans as a whole, now believe that reporters, quote, get in the way of society solving problems. Only about 30% of the public believes that news organizations care about the people they report on. Something like, in fact, let me give you the exact numbers.
Carl, a lot of folks suggest that this is because the news media are owned by these big corporations.
What does that have to do with it? I mean, you know,
I've worked in a newsroom too, Carl, and my experience of working in a newsroom was that I knew that there were some things that I couldn't push.
In what sense? I mean, what newsroom were you working in? You give me an example of that.
I'll do it right after this break. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the iAmerica Radio Network. We'll be back in just a minute with Carl Zinnmeister, the American Enterprise Magazine, TAEMag.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's day 10 on the picket line for nearly 500 telephone repair workers in Kentucky with no end in sight. The Alltel Corporation bought its Kentucky operations from Verizon last year on the condition that the company honor all existing contracts, including its union's collective bargaining agreements. But two locals of the Communications Workers of America say the company hasn't lived up to its end of the bargain. They filed a complaint with the Kentucky Public Service Commission, as well as charges of bad faith bargaining with the National Labor Relations Board. A union spokesperson says Alltel wants to gut its health care obligations to retirees, increase health care rates, and wants free rein to hire outside contractors. No new talks are scheduled.
A national referendum to protect workers in Italy from unjust termination failed this week after less than half the electorate cast ballots on it. A general strike last year forced Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to drop plans to reform Italian labor law, making it easier for companies to fire workers. That backlash led to the referendum, but only 23.4% of eligible voters made it to the polls. This opens the door for Berlusconi to try again and weaken worker protections, but there's no indications yet he's ready to do that.
The Bush administration's quashing of safety regulations on a list of poisonous chemicals has labor groups accusing the White House of toxic politics. The regulations, which were first drafted during the Clinton administration, were supposed to have regulated the use of a range of chemicals that have been linked to a host of injuries and deaths among U.S. workers, including an explosion at a New Jersey plant that killed five in 1995. But recently, the Bush White House quietly shelved the proposal. According to the Center on Public Integrity, industry groups opposed to the plan gave Bush and Cheney more than $216,000 in the run-up to the 2000 presidential election.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or a fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We were talking with Carl Zinnmeister, the American Enterprise Institute, and Carl had a 12:30 thing he had to boogie to, and he had told me about that in advance, and I had spaced it, so my apologies to him. He had to leave during our break, so he's not here to continue responding to this, but he had asked me if I had experienced pressure in the newsroom, and yes, absolutely, but the easy answer is Carl runs a conservative publication. Would he, as the publisher of that or the editor-in-chief, publish something that, for example, I wrote that was, quote, liberal, end quote? I don't think so. It's the prerogative of management to define the editorial bias of a publication. This is like logic. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number if you'd like to be on the program today. 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Northfield, Vermont is on the line. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi.
Hey, Tim.
I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to your guest. My primary question for him was really in line with some of the other questions, and that is, how come we're not able to get those issues, you know, how come we're not able to get the truth through the normal channels of media? Why is it that we have to dig on the internet and so forth in order to find out certain details? And of course, there are thousands of examples of that.
Well, Tim, Carl would say to some extent, so what if all the... Well, actually, I can't put words in Carl's mouth. Many of the conservatives would say, so what if all of the national media, so what if all the TV stations are owned by big corporations? That doesn't matter. What matters is that if people want to know things, they can find it on the Internet. You can always go to commondreams.org. How do you respond?
Well, my response to that is that the regular networks and the cable networks have pretty much been able to succeed in addicting most of America to what they put on the air. And so most of America, sits, numbly in front of their television, and they decide that if they think there may be a question on one channel, they'll switch to another, and they get basically the same answer. Or they get lies of omission, which means that they don't get information at all.
Yeah, and, but I got to tell you, Tim, the big concern that folks on the right have are those statistics that Carl was presenting. They're saying, oh my gosh, the media, that is the reporters, the people on the ground, tend to be people who vote Democratic. Now, I would suggest that the reason for that is that most of them went to college and they understand how the world works. I'd like to think that they are voting Democratic because they're intelligent people. The conservatives, of course, would say that's nonsense, although I'm not sure why because all the professors are Democratic. Well, why is that? Well, we could go on forever, but this is their position. I mean, they're very concerned. These people are really genuinely concerned about the fact that they think that there's a left-wing bias in the press. Do you see that, Tim? Maybe Tim is gone. Yeah, Tim is gone. Okay. Sorry. Okay, Tim, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your call. And I think this is a concern of these folks. Speaking of which, we have a Berlusconi alert. Gee, it's been a week or so since we've had one. And the reason why, I think, is because the American press just hasn't been reporting on this. I got this out of The Economist, a British publication that I was reading on a plane this weekend. This is the June 21st edition of The Economist. Off the hook at last, the article says. An immunity bill long awaited by Italy's embattled Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi was at last passed by Parliament on June 18th. It ensures that the top five people in Italy's hierarchy... Keep in mind, this guy, a small-time crooked businessman who bribed some judges back in the 80s, or at least that's what he's being charged with, to lock out a business competitor, rose up through the ranks, made millions and then billions, used that money to buy radio and television stations, bought the six or seven, depending on how you define a network, television networks in Italy. He owns all of them except the one that's owned by the state, except for their equivalent of public broadcasting. He owns them all. And after he bought all the media, he ran for prime minister. And surprise, he won. Which I think would tell us something about what happens when you own the media. So now... the prosecutor in Milan is accusing that this guy has bribed judges in the 1980s to stop a food company from being sold to his arch rival, Carlo De Benedetti. And he was about to, his good buddy in this thing just got convicted. 10 years in jail. His partner in the whole deal. And Berlusconi was next, and he's prime minister of Italy, and on July 1st, he's going to become the president of the European Union, the EU. Well, the Italians looked at this and they said, even if this guy's a crook, we can't afford to be embarrassed by having our prime minister be the president of Europe and then be thrown in jail. So even the guys who were against Berlusconi voted on this thing, and this immunity bill has now passed the two houses of parliament. And what it says is that Italy's prime minister, the state president, the speakers of the two houses of parliament, see, they help themselves out here, and the constitutional court's president, the equivalent of their head of the Supreme Court, cannot be prosecuted while in office. And it's got a great picture of Berlusconi wiping sweat off his forehead, and The Economist does this thing. 1-800-TALK, yes, is the number, 1-800-825-5937. If you'd like to be on the program today, if you have comments, questions, opinions, Karma in Atlanta, Georgia, has a comment here. Welcome to the program, Karma.
Hi.
Hi.
Basically, I just think that the same problem that the speaker we had previously wasn't addressing is that if one corporation or, you know, several small corporations own all of the media, then those smaller voices that he's saying are out there aren't going to have a chance to become large voices and access a large group of people, which is the same problem you have with all monopolies. You know, like, for example, you know, if Starbucks owns every coffee shop in America, then how can smaller coffee shops stay in business and continue running? And how can they access larger groups of people?
Right, exactly. And what does this do for the diversity of opinion? This is my big concern. What are you seeing in Atlanta, in the media in Atlanta there?
Well, actually, I just moved to Atlanta from Tallahassee, Florida. And even in Tallahassee, we have actually right now one of the nation's only independently owned college newspapers. So even there, so what would be considered the alternative voice is not really alternative. It's filled with advertisements, et cetera. But I've seen a lot of groups. You know, there's a lot of people who want to start something up and want to get things going, but it's just really hard to start anything because everything everywhere is so focused on corporations, corporations, corporations. And it's just so hard to get over that big corporate, you know, enterprise is enormous.
Yeah, I agree. Karma, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your calling in and sharing your comments with us here on the Tom Hartman Program. The FCC did not listen to the American people, but the Senate Commerce Committee did. Time will tell if what's going to come out of this, but both Democrats and Republicans on the committee have put together a legislative package that's going to take us back to the point where only 35% of the nation's households can be reached by a single media corporation in the television market. And the FCC was preparing to take this up to 70% with a bunch of little loopholes in there, the UHF station loophole being the biggest one that could actually shoot it up to 60 or 70%, that would limit the ability of individual media corporations to buy up daily newspapers and television and radio stations. It would remove an exemption that would have allowed radio conglomerates such as Clear Channel and Infinity to maintain control of radio stations in markets where they are in violation of ownership caps, and so on. We go through all this stuff. It's just, after a while, you just kind of start to glaze over. But where did this start? There was a very big concern about this. Way back in the 1700s, in the late 1700s, the idea that we had to have a free press was so critical. Ben Franklin strongly encouraged, and Jefferson pushed this through, this legislation, back when he was vice president in the Adams administration, pushed through legislation that subsidized the cost of the manufacture of newsprint for newspaper and the postage, the mailing of newspapers, so that newspapers could operate more easily and more people would have access to them. The idea being that, as Jefferson said, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Andy in State College, Pennsylvania is on the line. Andy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Hey, glad to have you here. What's up?
I just wanted to say something about the media ownership locally. If you have consolidated media ownership locally, then you've got local station managers that are hired by these owners, and if political ideology is brought into that, then they're hiring reporters who have the same ideology. So it's possible to have in the newsroom reporters who have a certain political bend to them. And we're seeing that with Fox News. That's cable. But with the new FCC rules, if they stand, then this sort of thing can happen in small towns with small markets.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is. I mean, a lot of your locally owned television stations are not locally owned any longer, and the locally owned radio stations. And you had Clear Channel with their boycott of the Dixie Chicks, for example. That's not a big corporation controlling local programming.
1,200 some local affiliates in radio. They're huge.
Right. Right. So it's a substantial problem there. Andy, thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling in. And I wanted to share that Alexis de Tocqueville came to the United States back in 1831. And he looked around and he said, you know, what's going on here with this new country? De Tocqueville was very skeptical about the possibility that democracy could survive in the United States. He was a royalist. He came from France, and he really thought that a royal system was probably the best, although France had undergone its revolution just 30 years earlier, and almost 40 years earlier, and it was moving in the direction of democracy. But he came over here and looked around, and he made some really interesting observations. I'll share them with you in a minute. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Ken in New Hampshire has a comment on our past guest. Welcome to the program, Ken.
Yes, Tom. It seems that your guest seems to think there's no such thing as editors or owners or program directors. If your program director, your editor, or your owner doesn't want something on or published or whatever, even if it gets published, you're not going to be there very long. To me, that's a total crock, especially when he says that, oh, if it's not there, the market will, you know, he says the market will correct that. How is the public to know it's even there if it's not put out there by the media? You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as I pointed out in the example of Fox Television.
Yes, and, you know, with the media as a whole controlled by conservatives, as far as ownership goes, they're not going to get it. Now, you could say, yeah, he can go to the Internet. How is he to know what sites, where to go? And the funny thing is that the public still does get its major news from TV/radio, mostly TV, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With TV, they've just got a couple minute bites. I mean, you can't do a decent job on a story on TV.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I agree. And thank you, Ken, for sharing that with us. Thanks for calling in. The Alexis de Tocqueville. I want to get into this. This is really interesting. He wrote this book. This was the best selling book in the United States in the early part of the 19th century, from around 1935 until the Civil War era. This was the major bestseller. And he says, it would seem if despotism were to be established amongst the democratic nations of our days, it might assume a different character that is different from the traditional kings. It would be more extensive and more mild. It would degrade men without tormenting them. And he talks about how he's struggling to define this thing because it's a brand new concept that has never been seen before. And he says, above this race of men, this free people, stands an immense and tutelary power. This is his vision of the future of America. A tutelary caregiving power, which takes upon itself alone to secure their gratifications and to watch over their fate. This being this giant corporate, we'll take care of you. That power, de Tocqueville said, is absolute, minute, regular, provident, and mild. It would be like the authority of a parent if, like that authority, its object was to prepare men for manhood, but it seeks, on the contrary, to keep them in perpetual childhood. As we find in our advertising, the basic message of advertising these days is, you are the most important person in the world, and what you want, you should get, and we have it for you. I mean, that's the message. It seeks to keep them in perpetual childhood. It is well content that people should rejoice, provided they think of nothing but rejoicing. Thus, it every day renders the exercise of the free agency of man less useful and less frequent. De Tocqueville said, it circumscribes them well within a narrower range and gradually robs a man of all the uses of himself. The principle of equality has prepared men for these things. It has predisposed men to endure them and oft times to look at them as benefits. After having thus successively taken each member of the community in its powerful grasp and fashioned him at will, the supreme power then extends its arm over the whole community. The will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent, and guided. Men are seldom forced by it to act, but they are constantly restrained from acting. Such a power does not destroy, but it prevents existence. It does not tyrannize, but it compresses, enervates, extinguishes, and stupefies a people until a nation is reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid and industrious animals. Now, what is the solution to this? De Tocqueville said, and I quote, "I think that men living in aristocracies may, strictly speaking, do without liberty of the press. But such is not the case with those who live in democratic countries. Servitude cannot be complete if the press is free, because the press is the chief democratic instrument of freedom." Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want the best rates on term life insurance? Of course you do. Would you like to protect your family with $1 million in coverage for less than $3 a day? It's real easy. Listen to these examples. A man age 45, non-tobacco user, can obtain $1 million of coverage. Issue preferred for only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. A 50-year-old man, non-tobacco user, can get $500,000 of coverage. Issue preferred for only $113 a month. And these rates are guaranteed not to change for 20 years. If you smoke, we have great rates for you too. Listen, if you want great term life insurance coverage to ensure your family's security, we're talking about $500,000 or more. That's our specialty and no one can beat us. Call my friends at Term Busters. We're here 24 hours a day to help. Rates and availability may vary by state. 800-430-6692. 800-430-6692. 800-430-6692.
Xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Fun Ji La is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fun Ji La.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We've got quite a lively conversation going on in our chat room here. I was looking for one little quote in there that I thought was great, but it's scrolled beyond my here we are. I really don't care what Bush has done. We may, but in large people. Oh, he says, I really don't think people care what Bush has done. We may, but in large people have become so disillusioned with politics that they don't enjoy discussing it anymore. It will swing back eventually, but we may have to go through some really dark times. Well, I'm hoping that's not the case, although the reality is that 55% of eligible voters in 2000 did not vote. Only 45% of the roughly 100 million voters who could vote voted. And, you know, what does that say about what's going on? Michael Moore suggests that it's that people have said people actually are voting. What they're voting for is none of the above. In 1984, according to media observer Ben Bagdikian, 50 corporations dominated the nation's daily newspapers, magazines, radio, television, books, and movies. Following the deregulation and merger craze in the 1980s, when the Reagan-Bush administration essentially stopped enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act and its sequels, that number dropped to 20 by 1993. Today it's just 10. Actually, today it's just 6. On a longer time scale, the shift is even more startling. Bagdikian observed that in 1946, 80% of all American newspapers were owned by individuals and independent local companies. Today it's the opposite. 80% are owned by corporate chains, and only 3 corporations control the majority of the business of the country's 11,000 magazines. And here's where it really, you know, this is kind of the rubber meets the road. In 1993, when NAFTA was before Congress for a vote, Congressman Bernie Sanders pointed this out in an op-ed he wrote, about half of all Americans, some polls showed 47%, some 49%, some 53%, some 50%, you know, so about half of Americans were strongly opposed to NAFTA. Yet of the hundreds of corporate chain-owned city newspapers across the United States, only 2 ran editorials questioning NAFTA. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's coming through a hole. From the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The Aspen wildfire continues to burn in the Santa Catalina Mountains just north of Tucson, Arizona today. It has so far scorched about 25,000 acres and is still only 25% contained. Officials say while over 300 buildings have so far been destroyed by the blaze, firefighters have successfully saved over 130 homes. Buck Wickham, who is the fire information officer, says firefighters should also hopefully be able to make some more progress today, with the winds in the area expected to die down somewhat.
We're supposed to have moderate winds from the west, which is, will be a godsend for our guys out there. We've had high winds night and day for the last 6 days.
The cost of fighting the fire so far is estimated at close to $5 million. That wildfire is also still advancing on the town of Oracle, where fire crews are working hard to expand a natural fire break caused by a wildfire last year. Thousands of extra British troops could be on their way to Iraq following yesterday's killing of six soldiers in an apparent ambush in the town of Amara. At the start of his weekly questions session in the House of Commons today, British Prime Minister Tony Blair paid tribute to those who were killed.
They were Royal Military policemen doing an extraordinary and heroic job in trying to bring normal and decent life to people in Iraq, and the whole country and their families can be immensely proud of them, even as they mourn them. Our thoughts are also with those who were wounded after they were attacked in Iraq yesterday.
Eight other men were injured in a separate attack in that very same area. The British government is now reviewing troop numbers, tactics, and equipment in southern Iraq. Great Britain still has about 14,000 troops there, and Prime Minister Blair says no timetable has yet been set for their withdrawal. And the House of Representatives yesterday overwhelmingly approved a nearly $30 billion bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security through next year. The measure would provide more money for airport security, firefighters, and other emergency workers. The $29.4 billion measure would increase Homeland Security spending next year by $1 billion more than President Bush had actually asked for. Additional money will be targeted for transportation security efforts, as well as for firefighters and training other emergency personnel.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me.
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
The Midwest is still trying to recover today after a night of violent weather that spawned actually tornadoes in several areas. Residents in parts of South Dakota still assessing the damage today after several twisters were reported there. Nebraskans, meanwhile, saw large hail, and a severe weather system also snaked its way into Minnesota and parts of Iowa. The Federal Reserve Board is expected to cut interest rates today. The only remaining question appears to be just by how much. Analysts say the policymakers could cut the rate by a quarter or as much as a half percentage point. The rate's currently at a 42-year low. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the June Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you've got a paint project, come in today and get top quality Ace Royal Shield Satin House and Trim Paint for only $16.99 a gallon, our lowest price of the year. And not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of June. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
For the first time now, members of the independent panel investigating the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster have said publicly the foam insulation that fell from the external tank during Columbia's liftoff is the likely cause of the February 1st tragedy. More on the story now from correspondent Rory O'Neill.
Board member Roger Tatro says they know the left wing began to disintegrate during Columbia's reentry, and they know the same part of that wing was hit by insulation during the launch.
And when you put all of those pieces of Swiss cheese together, it's a pretty compelling story that, in fact, the foam is the most probable cause of the shuttle accident.
The Columbia Accident Investigation Board is still in the process of writing its final report and will submit it to Congress later this summer. Rory O'Neill, Orlando.
And in health news, women taking the most common form of hormone replacement therapy do appear to be at an increased risk of developing hard-to-detect breast cancer. Researchers at Harbor UCLA Research and Education Institute in Southern California found the estrogen-progestin combination raises a woman's risk of breast cancer by 26%. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this. A toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from outer space on the Sirius Radio Satellite Channel 145. You can get it if you have standard equipment, the new Sirius radios in Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and Jaguar automobiles. And they just came out with a new home unit this month that you can pick up at your local store. And broadcasting live on the Internet, radiopower.org and iamericaradio.com, and archived every day on whiterosesociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Considering crime reporting, this is an interesting factoid. Everybody who watches American television knows about the repeated troubles of Rodney King, for example, or Mike Tyson. But how many Americans know that a study in the last decade of America's 500 largest corporations found that in the past 10 years, 23% of them had been convicted of a felony, of the Fortune 500 corporations? And these are the folks who own our media. Of course, we now have in office the first president of the United States in history to come into the presidency with a criminal record. Our guest today, our question for this hour, and we've been asking this, is the consolidation of the media hurting the quality of the news and endangering democracy? And we can even expand it beyond that, I think. You know, what is the state of the media today? Christina Borgeson, a client of Preview Literary Agency, has been an award-winning independent producer and writer for almost 20 years. Recently, she edited almost two dozen essays by leading journalists about the depth and breadth of censorship in American journalism and collected these together into a book called Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press. Gore Vidal wrote the foreword to this remarkable book. Christina, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Thank you. Can you tell me how to pronounce your last name, please?
Borgeson.
Borgeson. Okay, I had it right. Great. I got this book and read it when it first came out, which was, what, a year and a half ago or so?
It came out last year, last spring.
Okay. And I was just astounded. Some of the stories in here, some of them I knew something about, but many of them I had never heard about. You said that this book was, you talk about how this book was born when you began at CBS and the events that happened. Can you tell us that story?
Well, just briefly, I was assigned to look into the crash of TWA 800. And, you know, I had just won the year before the Emmy for investigative reporting, so my executive producer, you know, wanted me to go out there and uncover the big story. And, which I proceeded to do with the help of Paul Raganese, who was CBS's very own law enforcement consultant, a former NYPD bomb squad member, who knew a lot of the guys who were diving off the coast of Long Island for the debris. And who also had a secret meeting with members of the FBI task force under Jim Kastrom. And they were all saying that this was an explosive event, not an event that had anything to do with a mechanical failure. And as my investigation proceeded, I hooked up with this guy named Jim Sanders, who was an independent journalist, who actually did something that no other, certainly no major reporter in the U.S. did, in the mainstream media did, which was he hooked up with an investigator, National Transportation Safety Board investigator, inside the Calverton hangar. Mm-hmm. And this investigator was so troubled with what was going on, he felt there was a cover-up going on, that he started smuggling documents out to Jim Sanders, which Sanders sent to me. And when I started getting these documents, I was trying to get CBS News to do something with it, because I was supposed to take anything that I got first to the evening news, then to 60 Minutes.
Right.
So the evening news really didn't seem too interested, and partially because Bob Orr, who was their Washington correspondent, with whom I had met, had told me, oh, his top people, you know, his top sources in the Pentagon and in the government were telling him that this was a mechanical failure, so look no further. So,
well, Christina, what were your documents and sources implying was happening?
Well, the documents that I had, for example, was a copy of the debris field. And what was significant about that was that the deep debris field was marked showing what pieces of debris fell off the plane when and where. So whatever fell off first, whatever fell off first would be the first thing to be to be impacted, to be hit.
Right.
And the first piece of debris that fell off was not anything from the center wing tank, which would have been the case if the explosion had been initiated in the center wing fuel tank.
What was the first piece that fell off?
I knew you were going to ask me that question, and I should have looked at my papers before came on, but I don't recall. It was further up on
the
debris,
fuselage.
Further up on the plane than the center wing fuel tank.
Yeah.
But and then of course there were other documents, but what got me into trouble was, so they didn't want to report this. I mean, it was already a big story that a National Transportation Safety Board investigator was smuggling out documents. I mean, that in itself is a huge story. And that we had these documents and what the documents showed. And I actually did an interview with Jim Sanders talking about these documents and his association with this guy. CBS refused to do it. So finally, Jim Sanders sent me a little piece of evidence that the guy sent to him, which was a piece of sea foam that had this red residue on it, that the National Transportation Safety Board investigator, we called him Hangar Man, he said this stuff was sprayed across several rows of seats. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he wanted to have it tested. And actually, by law, he could give it to Jim Sanders to test if, you know, because if he wanted to have an outside source tested, by law, he could do it. I'm right. just saying that because it's significant later on. And so Sanders had it tested. He had what was called an elemental analysis done, all the elements broken down by a reputable lab. And he had the results reviewed by some experts who said it was spent solid rocket missile fuel. So then he asked me if I wanted a little piece of the evidence to test. And I said, sure, I'll ask CBS if they want to take it. 60 Minutes, senior producer Josh Howard said yes. We brought it. I brought it in. I got it from Jim Sanders, put it in Josh Howard's desk. 2 days later, the FBI came. Oh, yes, we had stolen evidence. CBS, without a peep, handed it back to the FBI. And 3 weeks later, I was out of, you know, I was out of CBS.
Wow. Now, at what level was this decision made at CBS not to cover this or go anywhere?
I don't know. I just got a call from their legal department that said, you know, we no longer want your services. We will not be renewing your contract. So, you know, 3 weeks you're out of here. I was like, okay.
What? Yeah, so we have this beginning here. I'm curious about this thread, and I think our listeners probably are too. What was your conclusion? I mean, solid rocket fuel.
It's interesting because I had told Sanders when he sent it to me, I said, you know, Sanders, I said, if this is all BS, you know, I'm going to, you know, blow you wide open on 60 Minutes, so be prepared for that if this is not, you know, true.
Right.
But what was interesting was that I never got to test it myself because I didn't have a chance to find a lab before the FBI swooped down and got it. But here's the interesting thing. Later on, CBS Evening News did do a report about this little piece of evidence, and the whole report was shot down Jim Sanders. You know, they refused to actually air any part of the interview that I did with him on it. Okay, they refused to show his face, and the senior producer for Out of Washington said, "This guy's not credible. I don't want him on our air." Blah blah blah. Even though they were using his photographs of the evidence, okay, to do the other part of the story, which was after they reported what he said, you know, Dan reported what he said, they had Jim Kallstrom come on, head of the FBI task force. They had him come on live to answer the question, well, is this solid rocket missile fuel? And he said, no, absolutely not. It's adhesive. And then later on, they actually identified that adhesive as a 3M glue.
Okay.
And so what we did, this was David Hendricks, with whom I was working also. He was part of the Press Enterprise. He was a reporter for the Press Enterprise, a paper out in California. He actually took a little piece of it, you know, had it soaked in the Long Island water, and had the same elemental analysis done, and you can see in my book, in my essay, where I show the same analysis was done on the red residue and on the 3M glue that Jim Kallstrom mentioned, and they're two different things.
Right.
So Jim Kallstrom lied to the American people, and actually that's what I document in my book. I don't come out and say, hey, you know, this is a missile or whatever. What I did I documented the cover-up.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm curious about. I mean, there were a friend of mine who lives in New York and who has some affiliations with one of the branches of our intelligence service commented to me, I think it was 2 days after this happened, that his understanding, and of course, this is not official. This guy had no inside information. This is just speculation, okay? But his understanding was that there was some branch of the military, the Navy or the Coast Guard, doing exercises off the coast that day, and that a missile got loose.
Well,
do you think it's that? Do you think this could have been an early Bin Laden sort of thing? I mean, what do you think happened?
I don't know, and I refuse to speculate because, you know, this is the type of thing where, you know, my credibility, I don't want to put my credibility on the line to speculate. I never have, and I don't want to now. But because to me it's already shocking enough if you read the essay, some of the things that happened in the course of my trying to investigate this. First of all, the government documents that we uncovered showing, you know, that a cover-up was occurring. The lying that goes on, you know, the harassment, like when I was again assigned by ABC to look into this, okay, to do a piece on TWA. And not only was my piece shut down, but the entire series of which the piece was supposed to be a part of, the entire series was canceled just because of this TWA story.
That's remarkable.
Okay.
We're speaking with Christina Borgeson, who is the editor of Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press, with a foreword by Gore Vidal. Christina, we've got a break coming up here in just a second. I'd like to continue a little deeper into this book right after that. Is there a website for the book or for some of this information?
Well, you know, the website is called intothebuzzsaw.com.
Okay.
It basically has information about the book.
Great. IntoTheBuzzsaw.com. Into the Buzzsaw, of course, is the book. You can find it at any local bookstore or online sources. And we're speaking with Christina Borgeson. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. I'll be right back.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got her down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Hey folks, it's John Madden here to tell you about the June Best Buys at Ace Hardware. If you've got a paint project, come in today and get top quality Ace Royal Shield Satin House and Trim Paint for only $16.99 a gallon, our lowest price of the year. And not only can the folks at Ace help you match over 1,400 colors, the Ace Royal brand comes with a 25-year warranty and is backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. So hurry in to your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of June. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Let's hear it for Ed Rosenthal. He's a marijuana grower. But before you can say drug dealer, let me say that he grows his marijuana to be sold for medical purposes, supplying patients under doctor supervision and who need the medicine to treat severe and chronic pain, cancer-induced nausea, and other ailments. Providing medical marijuana for these patients, many of whom are terminally ill and have no other medicine to ease their agonies, is not only humane and medically sound, but it's also perfectly legal. In 1996, the people of California voted to okay this use of the cannabis plant. In 2001, however, George W. chose John Mad Dog Ashcroft to be the U.S. Attorney General. And this super pious right-wing extremist has zero respect for the will of the people. Asserting his personal bias over states' rights and democratic choice, the authoritarian Ashcroft is on a prosecutorial crusade against California and the eight other states that have passed medical marijuana laws. Saying that his views and the federal law preempt state law, Ashcroft's agents have been going after people like Rosenthal with a vengeance. In a perverse Orwellian twist of justice, the feds convicted Ed by refusing to allow him to tell jurors that he was operating within state law. Jurors later angrily said they would have acquitted him had they known this. Now the good news. Instead of 100 years in prison and a $4.5 million fine, as the absurd federal law allows, the judge only assessed a $1,000 fine and one day in prison for Ed. Rosenthal will now appeal this silly conviction itself, and his case has become a rallying point for all of us who think this federal law is an anti-American assault on our basic liberties. Yet Ashcroft is as arrogant and autocratic as ever. As one of his agents said of Ed and us supporters of common sense, we are not listening to them. This is Jim Hightower saying, and that's exactly what's wrong with national drug policy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're talking today with Christina Borgeson, who is the editor of Into the Buzzsaw. Leading journalists expose the myth of the free press. And Christina, I confess it's been over a year since I've read this book, but so there are a few details that have escaped me. One of the most interesting things one of the things that I'd like you to talk about, if you take just a moment, is the difference between the reporting during Vietnam and Watergate and now. What has happened during that time?
Well, the difference between the reporting and during the Vietnam War was that, the reporters were sent over there and, you know, they had to figure out their own way around the country and to the front lines, and you know they had to do what reporters do, which is you hit the road, you hit the pavement, and you get the lay of the land, and you move around, and you're totally independent. You're not allied to anybody. You're not embedded with anybody. And that's how you do your reporting, and you can go anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. And of course, the result of that ultimately was that the American public saw the devastating pictures on TV night in and night out of what was going on over there, and that's what helped bring the war to an end. And, of course, Watergate is the same thing. I mean, Watergate occurred because, you know, when you get a tip like those, like Woodward and Bernstein got, you didn't have to worry about following up on the tip, you know, because your boss doesn't want problems with the government, or your boss is, you know, politically affiliated to the administration or whatever. You just went and did your job as a reporter and, you know, as a member of the Fourth Estate. But basically what happened now is that, you can't do these things because there are business considerations and political considerations that come first.
Our last guest, we were talking the last hour with a guy from the American Enterprise Institute who was basically saying it's no problem if all these giant, if a few giant corporations end up owning all our media, because there's so many outlets out there and the truth will get out one way or another. You can't stop it and people want the truth. What's your response to that?
There's so many outlets out there, but if all those outlets are owned and or controlled by, two or three companies, it's all those outlets owned by one company is essentially one big outlet, okay? I mean,
right.
it's sometimes the logic with which they try and present these arguments makes no sense. I mean, the fact of the matter is the more outlets they control, because they control the messages that come out of those outlets. And you know, they don't have different messages for the different outlets that they control. You know, it's the same message over and over and over,
Right.
And that message, really, more and more, certainly has nothing to do with the kind of reporting that we need in this country to make sane decisions, not only about, about the people we elect, sane decisions about, you know, whether or not to support, you know, engagements like the one we just came out of, the war in Iraq. And you know, I mean, it's just, it's horrendous what's going on, because for them to say that somehow this makes the country more democratic, and that this was opens up the situation with the press is just, it's absurd.
It's Orwellian news speak.
Yes.
In my opinion. Christina Borgeson, editor of Into the Buzzsaw, a remarkable book. IntoTheBuzzsaw.com is the website. Christina, we'll be back with you in just a moment if you can hold on through this break. Talk radio for the rest of us. We'll return with more about, is the consolidation of the media hurting the quality of the news and endangering democracy? What's going on with news in America today?
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Warmer climates might be hard on some cold-blooded creatures that already lead a tough life. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The warming of the Earth's atmosphere could be hard on a lot of animals. Some of them might try to adapt to warmer conditions, but it's possible they'll be unable to make that change. George Somero is a physiologist at Stanford University. Somero says most organisms live within a range of temperatures that's clearly defined. If climate change has pushed the warm end of that range up by a few degrees, the difference might be too much for some animals to handle.
Organisms are not really pre-adapted or over-engineered to deal with rising temperature. For a lot of organisms, they're currently living right at their thermal limit.
Somero works on the California coast at Monterey Bay, and he studies marine organisms in the zone between low tide and high tide. The inhabitants are cold-blooded creatures such as snails and crabs, and twice a day their habitat goes through a transition from wet to dry, cold to hot. Somero says some animals in this zone handle very warm conditions during the day, but it doesn't take much to push them past their limits. For example, a few extra degrees can kill some species of crabs by shutting down their hearts and their nervous systems.
You might say, well, that organism isn't going to be bothered by climate change because it's so warm adapted, but it's living right on the edge of its thermal tolerance right now. And further increases in temperature probably are going to push it over the edge where you get local extinctions of populations.
Somero says animal species typically adjust to warmer temperatures in one of two ways. In response to short-term changes like warmer temperatures during daylight hours, they acclimate temporarily. In response to changes over decades or centuries, they might undergo evolutionary adaptation. The complication with global warming is that it appears to be happening quickly, and it might be too quick and too permanent for some animals to endure. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call, 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Christina Borgeson, of the editor of Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press. Christina, can we jump to the moment, to a little more contemporary story, or would you like to stay with the stuff that's in the book?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Can we discuss contemporary things that are going on here for a moment?
Oh, absolutely. Context?
Okay, great. I just want to play a little clip here and then get your thoughts on what's going on with this situation.
Okay.
This is the Bush family is famous for their October surprises. Back in October of 1960, George Bush Sr. was involved in putting together something called Operation Zapata. He owned Zapata Oil Company at the time.
Yep.
Operation Zapata later came to be known as the Bay of Pigs invasion, but it was supposed to happen in October of 1960 to throw the election to Richard Nixon. And then, of course, we know about George Bush Sr. and the Ayatollah and keeping the hostages, which threw the election from Carter to Reagan. And so in October, actually September, the end of September of 2002, in order to shift the discussion away from issues that were coming out about Dick Cheney being subpoenaed and investigated and all this corporate crime and all these other problems, George Bush came out with this one.
7 years ago, as a condition for ending the Persian Gulf War, the Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction, to cease all development of such weapons, and to stop all support for terrorist groups. The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations. It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
And this is day 97 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. Christina, how does this play into this whole issue of the myth of a free press?
Well, you know, let me tell you something. There was a poll that was recently put out. It was so disturbing to me. I actually wrote an article for Vogue International about it. This poll that showed that 45% of the American people believed that, for example, Saddam Hussein was directly connected with 9/11. Now, I'm not saying that Saddam Hussein is a horrendous, brutal dictator and that I'm not, you know, glad that he's gone or anything. I'm just saying, you know, let's just take that one fact, you know, that 45% of the American people believed an outright lie. And that lie was given as one of the first reasons for going to war against Iraq, along with the weapons of mass destruction.
Well, this administration never actually... Well, maybe they did say once or twice, but the main way
what they did,
Robert Byrd pointed out, they wove it together.
Well, you have to understand how it works. What they did was, in the mainstream media, they would, in the same breath, imply it was a reason of war created by innuendo. Okay, the weapons of mass destruction, again, an outright lie. Again, you know, reported without question, and that's the problem right there. Is that the mainstream media, which is a corporately owned, which, I mean, they're running a business, okay? And news is a public service. Reporting is a public service that requires asking questions, holding people's feet to the fire, making sure, you know, if you're going to air what they have to say, if it's not true, you have to say it's not true. You have to look and you have to check it out. And if you're going to report it, then you have to say this is true or this isn't true, okay?
Right.
This does not occur anymore in the mainstream press. What you get is, quote, legitimate news sources, which are, you know, the power, you know, the people in power,
sanitized,
who are invited to come on at any time and say whatever they want without question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And anybody who may not be as powerful but who has proof to the contrary will not be invited on to contradict that source, particularly if it's a powerful source. Why? Because, first of all, they don't want problems because it can create problems with their business. And two, because once you contradict, once you expose somebody as a liar, particularly somebody who's powerful, like, you know, Bush or anybody in his administration, all of a sudden your access is shut down.
Right, and this goes back to the CNN thing that I'd like to talk to you about. If any of our listeners would like to ask a question of Christina Borgeson, the editor of Into the Buzzsaw, and the website for the book is intothebuzzsaw.com, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Christina, David in San Francisco has a question or a comment. David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, morning. Always a good subject. You know, I was I used to sell advertising many years ago in radio and in television and a number of publications when I think about it as well. And one of the major aspects of it is the barter. A lot of times people think that ads are paid for in cash, but there is so much barter going on that it's amazing. And small radio stations, small publications really depend upon that barter, whether they get a little restaurant meal just to tide them over, or the use of a car or something like that. The barter arrangements that go on, when the corporatization of radio and the mass media happens, that very much crushes the ability for the small businesses to advertise anymore, which then simply makes it so that the major corporations get all of the advertising, and then ad rates are based upon a whole different scale. And
that's interesting.
Well, yeah. It really, when you have the knowledge of that, then you start to realize the potential allies that that are available to defeating this FCC scandal. If you look at the potential, for example, 25 years ago or so, the Republican Party was pretty much made up of competing between big business and small business.
And middle-sized business.
Big pardon?
You know. And medium-sized businesses as well, fairly large but local or statewide businesses.
Right, right. And the religious right really didn't have much of a place in there. It was only after Nixon started going through his Watergate phase that he really encouraged the religious right to take steps to encroach into the Republican Party. But
yeah, it's part of the Southern strategy.
Yeah, and the big business competition with small business was always able to beat out big business in the Republican Party because of sheer numbers. Well, now that the religious right is in there, it's essentially a battle between the religious right and big business, and small business is thrown to the trash. Now, I'm active in the Green Party, and we're seeing a lot of small business people who are begging for our help. And the Democrats are, of course, doing the same. And this is a real opportunity for activists and consumer activists to join together with small business, because essentially they know that their time is up at this point. The yeah. corporate state, which is what this is all about, is essentially doing their best to crush what little small business exists.
Well, and they're wiping out small. I mean, if you walk down the main streets of any town in America and look at the names on the stores, you see that. David, thank you for the point. It's a good one and an interesting one, and I appreciate your call. Christina, your thoughts on this? What do you think advertising? What's the role of advertising and marketing and the relationship between big and small businesses and media and all this? Christina? I think maybe we've lost Christina. Okay, she dropped out. We've had a telephone hiccup here. David, thanks for that comment. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in Austin, Texas is on the line. Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Have we lost Mark, too? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's the phone gods are unhappy today, it seems. Well, it's interesting. The whole situation with this, in the last century, corporate-controlled media was reaching the most distant corners of the world, and its effects were seen in all kinds of strange ways. In 1995, parts of the island of Fiji, which had never before seen television. Now, this isn't so much about the news, but just the whole sense of media itself and how the machine drives the machine, how the advertising drives the machine. In 1995, part of the island of Fiji, which had never before seen television, got the tube. And 3 years later, Researchers talked with several groups of Fijian girls whose average age was 17. They found that before television, only 3% had ever thrown up to try to control their weight. Bulimia, anorexia. Bulimia is throwing up. After 3 years of television, however, in Fiji, 15% of these teenage girls were clinically bulimic. The first steps in a values-driven advertising campaign is to disempower humans, convince people that there's something wrong or deficient about them. And then you get in, and then we have the situation where the news drives the advertising drives the news. Christina, welcome back to the program. Sorry we lost you there.
I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, it must be something astrological, because we have Mark on the line from Austin, Texas, and we'd lost Mark, too, but he's back as well.
Oh, okay.
Christina, before we bring Mark in, did you hear David's comment about the relationship?
My response to that is this. There's a fundamental problem with the whole advertising-based system in terms of, its connection to the freedom of the press, because advertisers are very sensitive about their brand, their image, and they want to put their money into a show or into a news program that doesn't contradict the image or doesn't cast, negative light on them in any way, et cetera, et cetera. So that in itself is a censoring factor. News, unfortunately, sometimes it's ugly. Sometimes it attacks powers that be, whether governmental or corporate. And that is a problem for a lot of people in business. So, I mean, I understand his
contention about... So is the solution in your mind to go to something like the BBC type of system that we sort of have here, that we used to have in the United States with public broadcasting, where at least one news source is impartial?
Public broadcasting is dependent upon, is very, very dependent on corporate funds.
Right, but it didn't used to be.
Well,
and the BBC is not at all.
That's true. Well, so. We have to, this is something that we as a people need to sort of hash out. Because I think, and again, for me, it's not a political issue. It's an issue about informing the American people, serving the public interest of this nation and serving our democracy by informing people on the huge issues of our time. I mean, we have a lot of government institutions that are running amok. Our election process is corrupt, to say the least.
Compromised, shall we say? Yeah.
We need a press that is going to scrutinize these things and report on them honestly, without being fettered by having to. Worry about some businesses' corporate mandate. I'm not anti-corporate. I'm not. I just don't think that a public service like providing the news on important issues, I think it clashes with the business mandate.
Well, and just up until the last decade, most of the major news organizations were very separate. I mean, there was this wall between the advertising, the entertainment divisions, and the news division. We're speaking
right.
with Christina Borgeson, who is the editor of Into the Buzzsaw. IntoTheBuzzsaw.com is the website. It's an extraordinary book. If you'd like to be on the program today, 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. The question we're asking is, the consolidation of media hurting the quality of the news and endangering democracy? And Mark in Austin, Texas has a comment. Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you, Tom. Actually, my comment was for Christina. I know she had mentioned that one in four Americans believed that Saddam Hussein was connected to 9/11. I wonder if she saw the survey yesterday that said one in six Americans believed that chemical and or biological weapons were used against American and British forces in the most recent war. I believe it was on Slate yesterday.
Oh, really? No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so it's kind of that same thing where if you sort of say certain things enough times, people tend to believe that, that's what's really going on.
I wonder, though, if it's that or if it's like on Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, there's this show called This Hour Has 22 Minutes, and one of their recurrent funny things is they come down to the United States with a microphone and they walk up to Americans, very often on college campuses or in the halls of government, and they'll say things like, did you know that Canada just finished paving its first 100 miles of road? Or did you know that, were you signed this petition? petition. They had a really good one at Princeton University, getting people to sign a petition to stop the practice of putting elderly people on ice floes in the city of Toronto and putting them out into the lake to die in the winter. And they had all these people who were all outraged and speaking on the bullhorn. I mean, could it just be that there are a lot of people in our society, regardless of what the media does, who are just profoundly uninformed, that they're just kind of going along?
But don't you understand that's part of a function of the fact that our press isn't doing its job?
You think so?
You know, I mean, here we are, the world superpower, and you know, there are lots of people in our country who have no idea the types of things that we're engaging in, both, you know, internationally and nationally. And when something like September 11th happens, they're like, oh, my God. And they come up with the, you know, most provincial reasons for why it occurred, when other people who were better informed, you know, they were sort of seeing this. You know, they saw this coming. And right. And so this is, you know, this is one of the fundamental issues of our democracy, is the fact that our people don't have any information. All they have is controlled messages.
It's the massaging of the public that de Tocqueville talked about back in 1835 in Democracy in America, where he talked about this vast tutelary power and this corporate power reaching out over people. Mark, thanks for your call and thanks for your comments. I appreciate your calling in. Christina, just to wrap this up, the book is Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press. The website is intothebuzzsaw.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's it.
And we've got about 15 seconds here left. A final comment about the book?
You know, I just ask people to consider buying the book so that they can be informed, so they can inform themselves on how their press really does work.
Oh, man, it's an extraordinarily enlightening and insightful book. I recommend it very highly. Thank you very much, Christina, for being on our program today. I very much appreciate your being with us.
My
pleasure.
Listening
to the Tom Hartman. Thank you. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
You've supported her through every accomplishment in her life.
Cross, pull, I tied my shoes.
While your ultimate goal is to teach her to stand on her own.
Let go, I can do it.
There are things she just can't do without your support.
There were drugs and alcohol at the party.
Talk with the teens in your life. And if they're in substance abuse treatment and recovery, support them. Help them turn the hardest thing they've ever done into their greatest accomplishment. For information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch when charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to
go on.
God. Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All the world over strong, easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, please, listen, that's the way it should be. Peace in the valley, people got to be free.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. Although we understand the reality of the situation in the world, nonetheless, we hope for democracy. We've been talking about the media, and Tony in Washington, D.C. has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 with a comment. Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you so much. You're doing a terrific job, and I'm glad to give you that extra hour.
Hey, Tony.
I think also these polls, and tell me what you think, I'll take my answer off the air, that aren't they preaching to the choir? Are they going back to the same people? Because only 50% or less than 50% voted last time. So it seems to me like they're still going back to the same well to give you this impression that it's, you know, Karl Rove Incorporated is working. And I'll take my hands off the air.
Well, let me understand your question
here,
Tony. You're suggesting that we're getting the same people on TV over and over, and we're always seeing Grover Norquist being interviewed because that's a predictable outcome, or because he's part of the power structure, or what?
Right. And I was talking about also Karl Rove. He's going to make sure, you know, that they go ahead and interview the same people or the same group of people who think just like the administration. I mean, if you try to keep power, wouldn't you want to do that to keep the impression?
It's you know, in some ways you could suggest, Tony, that this isn't just, you know, corporations trying to manipulate things for their benefit or whatever. This is just good old fashioned lazy journalism.
True.
You know, that there's some element of that in there. Although I think the larger one, I remember when Bush first came to power, like in the first week after he was one of those senior moments where they, you know, they have the swearing-in ceremony. there was a brief story. This was like one day in the newspaper where one of the vice presidents of CNN made a pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. to assure the Bush administration that they would start portraying George Bush in a good light, that they wouldn't show his gaffes, that they wouldn't air things when he screwed up and things like that, that they'd try to make him look better. And in exchange for that, they got their reporters full-time access to the White House. So there's this, I think, a very real problem of a quid pro quo in the media. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Or in the next hour if you're one of those stations that's carrying us for 3 hours.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Parts of the Midwest are trying to recover today after violent weather spawned a number of tornadoes and some severe flooding overnight. A tornado leveled the post office in Buffalo Lake, Minnesota. Large hail was reported in Nebraska, and tornadoes also swept through several areas of South Dakota. Parts of Iowa were also hit hard by last night's severe weather. Meanwhile, southern Arizona's Aspen wildfire is still only 15% contained after blistering already about 25,000 acres of land outside Tucson. Gusty winds and dry weather have fueled the blaze that's now destroyed over 300 homes in the ski resort town of Summerhaven. Also in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a wildfire there sparked a power outage yesterday that left 16,000 customers without electricity. New Mexico's governor has declared a state of emergency. The British Prime Minister's communications chief, Alistair Campbell, is set to be grilled by the Board of Inquiry into whether the government misled Britons about Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. Today's questioning comes after Campbell initially refused to appear before the Foreign Affairs Select Committee in London. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Alistair Campbell is the top spin doctor in Tony Blair's Downing Street office. He's set to explain his role in last September's dossier on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction, which included a claim that a chemical or biological strike could be launched within 45 minutes of an order. The communications chief has been accused by some of sexying up the dossier by rewriting parts of the document after the intelligence services had completed it. Mr. Campbell will also be questioned about February's dodgy dossier, which he commissioned, and which Foreign Secretary Jack Straw on Tuesday branded an embarrassment for the government. Suzanne Chislett, London.
President Bush is pushing Congress to reform Medicare now, he says. The Senate and House are working on plans to add a prescription drug element to the federal entitlement program. Mr. Bush says it's important to make Medicare a modern system.
We are making great progress on this issue. We have an historic opportunity to seize the moment and get a good bill done.
The president says he wants to sign a Medicare prescription drug plan sometime this summer.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert, use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul. I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
There's largely unanimous consent among analysts. The Federal Reserve will announce another rate cut today when it wraps up its two-day meeting. The benchmark federal funds rate is currently 1.25%, its lowest level in 42 years. Despite that, though, number of home refinancings and mortgage applications last week was down. Meanwhile, the second-largest mortgage finance company in the U.S., Freddie Mac, says it expects to restate earnings for 2000 to 2002 upward by as much as $4.5 billion. The company says a lack of accounting expertise and weak accounting and internal controls resulted in several errors by its staff.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
NASA has now released new videotapes and photographs recovered from the debris field left by the Space Shuttle Columbia when it broke apart on re-entry back in February. More from correspondent Rory O'Neill.
The Columbia 7 may have appeared larger than life, but through 10 hours of newly released videotape, they sound more like regular people, having a lot of fun.
Hey, better. Zero-G baseball.
Relaxing.
Yeah, she's doing that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
And sharing special moments.
Good morning to my wife, Rona, the love of my life.
The new tapes are reminders of what everyone lost on February 1st. Rory O'Neill, Orlando.
And for the first time publicly, the members of the independent panel investigating the shuttle disaster have said the foam insulation that fell from the external tank during Columbia's liftoff is the most probable cause of that tragedy. There are still other tests, however, they say, that have to be conducted. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lightus with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh, no. One size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop. Hi, I'm Bobby Lycus. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Lycus. Lycus, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the third hour of the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from outer space on the Sirius Radio Network satellite system. You can tune it in on your car or your home receiver now. They've come out with a home receiver and broadcasting live on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, and archived at whiterosesociety.org. You'll find our programs. We've got a lively discussion going on in our chat room. Some really thoughtful and articulate folks in there. It's just fascinating stuff. I'm going to pause the screen here and try and catch some of these things. There were really some good comments. In the 60s, we all thought there would be a revolution. There was. It was just the other direction from what we thought it would be. ADD Glenn, Coach Glenn says apparently the corporations took over in the revolution of the 60s when the rest of us weren't looking. Some discussion about what happened. Oh, this is great. Does anyone remember the true debates of the William Buckley Show in the 70s? It's where Michael Dukakis and Michael Kingsley made their reputations. It was a very good, if right-wing, concept. In concept. I really used to enjoy watching that show. I thought William F. Buckley did a marvelous job. I didn't always, in fact, I didn't even often agree with his politics, but I thought he had an excellent program. It would be fascinating to see something like that. Again, Crossfire on CNN is moving sort of in that direction, but it's still this whole modern, hey, jazz it up, yeah, go, bang, kind of thing, as opposed to a thoughtful discourse. I don't know, maybe we are just too wired by television. In fact, that's another point that somebody else, another person in the chat room made. There's so much discussion here, I'm not sure I can find it quickly, but the point that they made in summary was that our brains have been rewired by television, and maybe the problem of people thinking, you know, when you do the polls and you get so many people, 26% of people saying that they thought that weapons of mass destruction or chemical and biological weapons had been used against our troops in Iraq, and 47% of people saying that Saddam Hussein and Iraqis were in charge of the 9/11 attacks, when neither of these have any remote connection to reality, that it's not that it's because the media is lying or it's corporate controlled or anything like that, although those things are very real and very real problems, but it's that people have been connected to a plug-in drug. We have this drug called television that wires into people's brains. It's really interesting how this works. By the way, if you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 825-5937. If you'd like to drop into the chat room and see the conversations going on there or participate in it, go to www.tomhartman.com. You'll see a link there that says click here for the radio program. You click on that, it takes you to the radio show homepage. On that page, there's a link that says click here for the chat room, which takes you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. You get there, click the chat button, and you will be in the chat room. I know it takes three or four links to get there. Sorry about that, but it's a pretty straightforward process. And also I wanted to mention in our first hour, in the last 2 hours, we've been talking about the media and corporations, and just wanted to toss in a shameless plug here. I wrote a book about this topic called Unequal Protection that you may find interesting. It's called the subtitle is The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. And it has a lot of good information in it about this exact situation, how corporations came to take over politics in America, how they came to take over America, and how they're in the process of taking over the world. And we'll get into more and more details of that as time goes on in these programs. So, anyhow, where we were going with that, I started out talking about television. This is from the most recent science, the absolute. Oh, as somebody in our chat room just says, on a techie note, 60 hertz, which is the flicker frequency of the average NTSC TV, is also the optimal frequency for encouraging a hypnotic state. Interesting. I think that 7, 8, 9 hertz is theta, which is the produce hypnosis. 60 hertz, I don't know. It's interesting. In Europe, they use 50 hertz, 50 cycles per second is the refresh rate for screens, and I can actually see that flicker. It's very distracting. Here we use 60 hertz, but we interlace the screen, so it's actually only refreshed 30 times a second. But that's probably more technical stuff than you wanted to know about. How does the brain work, and how is it connected with this, though? I wrote about this in a book called Tom Hartman's Complete Guide to ADHD, and it's this. When I first learned this, it was amazing. It blew my mind. I learned this from a book called from Joseph Chilton Pierce, a book he wrote called Evolution's End. And it turns out that we are wired for story. The way that we historically learn things and have learned things is by telling each other stories. And that the way that we remember things is by making pictures in our minds. If you make a picture in your mind, you'll remember something much longer than if you simply have the words. This is how so many of the memory tricks and techniques work, where they teach people how to memorize things and in quick fashion. There's a thing I used to do when I would teach teachers classroom techniques. And I can take a classroom of 10-year-olds and teach them the Bill of Rights forward and backward in 10 minutes. And it's really simple. You just tell them a story. This giant church falls out of the sky, and there's people in the church, and they're sticking guns out the windows of the church, and the soldiers come parachuting in to try and control the situation. Well, if you can just see those three pictures, for example, of this giant church falling out of the sky, and then the people inside sticking guns out of the windows, and then soldiers parachuting down to take control of the situation, and then maybe giant searchlights into the sky, illuminating the soldiers as they're coming down, you've got the first four amendments to the Bill of Rights. Number one, separation of church and state and freedom of the press. Number two, the right to bear arms, the guns. Number three, soldiers cannot be quartered in your home. And number four, search and seizure, the right of privacy. You're protected against unreasonable search and seizure. So if you make pictures, now the point of this is that the picture part of the brain, the back, it's in the occipital region of the brain, is where all of the real computing horsepower is. And if you can say things in a visual fashion, or you can cause people to come up with pictures, they remember them. But the process is that words go into the ears. You hear sounds, you hear words, and then that information has to get transmitted. It's processed in the side parts of the brain, in Wernicke's region and Broca's region, and basically underneath the ears, and those parts of the brain, the temporal lobes, and that's where sound is. And then that information has to get to the back of the brain, to the occipital region, where we process vision. And we're not born with those pathways intact. Those pathways have to be developed. So historically, we all sat around the campfire, and Og and Zog would be telling the story of when they chased the woolly mammoth, and I chased him, and then he chased me, and then I chased him. And the kids are all sitting around the campfire, wildly hallucinating, imagining, their imagination going wild about what happened. They're hearing a story, and it's coming into their ears. It's going into the temporal lobes, into the side parts of the brain, and then it's being sent back to the back of the brain where they're visualizing, where there's the visual processing. And this is how memory works. It's how imagination works, certainly. But this is the most important thing. This is the fundamental training ground wherein the brain learns how to learn. So then the written word came along, with the writing. Well, we can track writing back to about 3,000, 3,500 years ago. And then, of course, the printing press back in the 15th century or the 16th century. And with the written word, we would read things that are written down. We say the words in our ears, in our head. And then we have to send that information back to the back of the brain and to create the picture. So you read something that says, well, the giant pink elephant walked down the street. And as you're saying those words, the picture appears in the back of your mind. And then came along radio. We're tracking technology here over the last, 10,000 years of civilization. And then along came radio. And in radio, you'd hear the... Oh, it's the Lone Ranger. It's actually coconuts on a board. I mean, I don't have the coconuts on the board here to do the hoofbeats, but, you can create with radio all sorts of effects and things. And so, again, people are hearing things. The information's coming in through their ears, and they send that back to the back of the brain. And every time this happens, these pathways between the temporal lobes and the occipital region become what's called myelinated. There's this compound called myelin that protects the nerves. And before I continue with this story, I want to get back to, this is a neat story and it's important to know, but 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 825-5937, and I just noticed Jim in Northern Virginia is on the line. Jim, I'm not sure how long you've been holding it because I went off on a rant here, and I'm sorry. Thanks for being on the program. Welcome.
That's fine. This is a wonderful breath of fresh air that I'm listening to. This is great. It beats those idiots with the right-wing agenda.
Bless you, Jim.
One of the things that I when I was in college, I remember in my psychology program that one of the first things in brainwashing, one of the first things that has to happen if you want to do this very easily is a traumatic experience. And that, to me, was 9/11. And I believe that Karl Rove and his group of cronies decided that this was a good time to take Bush from an idiot to a presidential figure. And they used that, in my mind, to brainwash the American people And I think that Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage and all that bunch of crazy people, I tell you, those people are nuts. I swear, I don't know how they got number one anyway. And but I believe it's a systematic control of brainwashing. Well, I've been reading a couple of books. One is Media Control and Manufacturing Consent by Noam Chomsky.
Yes,
and I'm surprised that that very sentiment is reflected in those books. And I'm wondering why is the way to take back this media is for the masses of these of the people of this country to rebel against the media? Is that what's going to put a stop to all this?
You know, I honestly don't know, Jim. I am convinced that whatever kind of change is going to come about begins with education. If we look at every social movement that has been successful in the history of the United States, whether it was the anti-slavery movement, the women's suffrage movement, the civil rights movement, that historically they all began with people waking up. Abraham Lincoln, when he met Harriet Beecher Stowe in 1852, the first words he said to her, or 1862, the first thing he said to her was, "So you're the little lady who started this war." In fact, her book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, was the best-selling book for a two-decade period in the United States. And what it did was it gave white people the experience of what it was like to be a black slave in the United States. And they were so horrified by it that it changed the future of America. So I think that waking people up is step one. And programs like this and websites like commondreams.org and buzzflash.com and opednews.com, things like that, are also part of that process. Where it goes from there, who knows?
Compliment you on your show. I've only been listening to you for a couple of weeks now, and it is so refreshing to hear something other than hatred on the radio.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling and for sharing a little positive feedback. David in Santa Fe. Sorry, I had to open that window. David, we'll be right back after this break, and I'll take your call. Just hang on to the line. This is the Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Let's hear it for Ed Rosenthal. He's a marijuana grower. But before you can say drug dealer, let me say that he grows his marijuana to be sold for medical purposes, supplying patients under doctor supervision and who need the medicine to treat severe and chronic pain, cancer-induced nausea, and other ailments. Providing medical marijuana for these patients, many of whom are terminally ill and have no other medicine to ease their agonies, is not only humane and medically sound, but it's also perfectly legal. In 1996, the people of California voted to okay this use of the cannabis plant. In 2001, however, George W. chose John Mad Dog Ashcroft to be the U.S. Attorney General. And this super pious right-wing extremist has zero respect for the will of the people. Asserting his personal bias over states' rights and democratic choice, the authoritarian Ashcroft is on a prosecutorial crusade against California and the eight other states that have passed medical marijuana laws. Saying that his views and the federal law preempt state law, Ashcroft's agents have been going after people like Rosenthal with a vengeance. In a perverse Orwellian twist of justice, the feds convicted Ed by refusing to allow him to tell jurors that he was operating within state law. Jurors later angrily said they would have acquitted him had they known this. Now the good news. Instead of 100 years in prison and a $4.5 million fine, as the absurd federal law allows, the judge only assessed a $1,000 fine and one day in prison for Ed. Rosenthal will now appeal this silly conviction itself, and his case has become a rallying point for all of us who think this federal law is an anti-American assault on our basic liberties. Yet Ashcroft is as arrogant and autocratic as ever. As one of his agents said of Ed and us supporters of common sense, we are not listening to them. This is Jim Hightower saying, and that's exactly what's wrong with national drug policy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Program. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And I was going through this whole thing about how the brain works, and the kicker on this, and I'll just give it away real quickly and then we can revisit it, is that when people watch television, you have a signal that goes into the eyes that goes right to the occipital region, and you have a signal that goes into the ears that goes right into the temporal region of the brain, and these pathways between the two don't mix. They don't get built. And as a result of their not getting built, people lose their ability to learn. So when children are exposed to a lot of television, they become less functional as learners. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. David in Santa Fe is on the line. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
I have something to add to this brain malineation conversation.
Great.
In the late 70s, there was a book called The Silent Pulse by George Leonard, who was previously the editor of Look magazine, and he retired and became a researcher quite a bit like Joseph Chilton Pierce, who you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, The Silent Pulse, he talked about how everything in nature has this vibrational element to it, and he talked about a phenomena called entrainment.
Right.
And he gave an example of putting pendulum clocks on the wall and starting all the pendulums at a different rate, and that after an hour or so, they would all entrain and line up.
Right.
And I also saw something on PBS where they showed putting a live heart cell, which was still beating, under a microscope next to another one, and mm-hmm. after a while, the two heart cells became beating together.
Well, I read a paper, and it was in one of the scientific magazines 5 or 6 years ago, about how if two people who have relatively similar resting heartbeat rates, that is to say they're not, you know, one of them isn't just freshly out of breath or something, hold their chests close enough together so that they're just slightly off center, so that their hearts are heart to heart, you know, you'd have to just shift about mm-hmm. 2 inches off to center, that their heartbeats will entrain.
Yeah. So what he was pointing out is that everything in nature has a tendency to do that.
Right.
Now, the television is transmitting a certain kind of vibrational thing, too. Leonard cited some preliminary research that Buckminster Fuller had discovered. They were able to take films of fetuses in utero, mm-hmm. and they found out that the fetuses in that liquid environment are kind of dancing to the language, particularly of the mother, because the vibration of her speaking is in that body, but also to the sounds around. Mm-hmm. And they found that different parts of the body corresponded to different sounds. I think they're, I don't know what the term is, but they identified like 43 or 44 elements of sound which make up all languages. I might have called them phonemes, or I might be wrong about that. But let's say the hard K sound in the word cake, mm-hmm. just for sake of example, say that makes your left elbow jump. Well, what they found is that whether you were an Eskimo baby, an African baby, an Indian baby, wherever you were from, those same sounds would make your body jump in the same way. Mm-hmm. So Fuller thought that this would be a real good area to investigate, because what it means is that people are all the same no matter where they're from. But
well,
the way
you know,
it
the
relates
Vedic
to
literature.
Television is that you're sitting there in front of a television, and in that language, they're using all these parts of speech, and your body is making these little micromuscular myelinations in response to the television. So while you think you're sitting there having a critical opinion of something, what's actually happening at a much, much deeper level in your body neurolinguistically is that you're coming to the level of the information that's being transmitted from that TV.
Spot on. Well said, David. Thank you for sharing that with us. And The Silent Pulse by George Leonard. I'll have to track that book down. Thank you. I appreciate the call. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's day 10 on the picket line for nearly 500 telephone repair workers in Kentucky with no end in sight. The Altel Corporation bought its Kentucky operations from Verizon last year on the condition that the company honor all existing contracts, including its union's collective bargaining agreements. But two locals of the Communications Workers of America say the company hasn't lived up to its end of the bargain. They filed a complaint with the Kentucky Public Service Commission, as well as charges of bad faith bargaining with the National Labor Relations Board. A union spokesperson says Altel wants to gut its health care obligations to retirees, increase health care rates, and wants free rein to hire outside contractors. No new talks are scheduled.
A national referendum to protect workers in Italy from unjust termination failed this week after less than half the electorate cast ballots on it. A general strike last year forced Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to drop plans to reform Italian labor law, making it easier for companies to fire workers. That backlash led to the referendum, but only 23.4% of eligible voters made it to the polls. This opens the door for Berlusconi to try again and weaken worker protections, but there's no indications yet he's ready to do that.
The Bush administration's quashing of safety regulations on a list of poisonous chemicals has labor groups accusing the White House of toxic politics. The regulations, which were first drafted during the Clinton administration, were supposed to have regulated the use of a range of chemicals that have been linked to a host of injuries and deaths among U.S. workers, including an explosion at a New Jersey plant that killed five in 1995. But recently, the Bush White House quietly shelved the proposal. According to the Center on Public Integrity, industry groups opposed to the plan gave Bush and Cheney more than $216,000 in the run-up to the 2000 presidential election.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, I love a rainy night. Such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face. Taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow. Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day. Cause I love.
Oh, and we could use a few rainy nights. Now, boy, is it warm out. It's here in Vermont in the People's Republic. It's up to 90 degrees. It's been a beautiful sunny day. I understand we got thunderstorms out in the Midwest. Strange weather all over. You know, global warming doesn't necessarily mean just that it gets warmer. It actually gets cooler in some places because a warmer atmosphere can hold more moisture. Again, it can hold more moisture, it can have more clouds. It has more clouds. The stuff underneath the clouds seems to be a little cooler, even though the overall atmosphere is warmer. Thus, we've had these strange cold days along the East Coast and all this rain. Now we've got some sunlight. So, anyway, we were talking about how the brain works, and excellent call there from Dave. Oh, I wanted to share something from the chat room here. John Emig 4 in our chat room. He just popped out, actually. I don't know if he's still listening, but John, he posted this thing. He says, let's see, where he's talking about street theater. He's talking about doing street theater. He says, yeah, I used to be a Republican. And he's concerned about the state of our nation, and it's not foreigners I'm scared of. He says, except maybe some street theater. And he says, I got all grungy the other day and tore a piece of cardboard and make like a beggar's sign that said, "We'll kill for oil." Walked around down at the busy intersection trying to look pathetic and needy. That was, yeah, it's kind of the unofficial slogan of the United States, at least from the view of the rest of the world, in a very unfortunate fashion. David from Santa Fe had called and mentioned that the process of entrainment and that certain sounds had consistent consequences right across cultures and races and where you were born and all this kind of, you know, it's just the human condition. And, of course, this is what the Vedas were saying, the ancient Hindu scriptures, for thousands of years. It's what the mystical Christians and Jews were saying. You get into this in Kabbalah, that there are certain sounds that have certain effects. You know, this way, Om and Amen, and Amen actually goes back to the Egyptians. It was Amen was the name of the god of gods of the Egyptians, the highest of all gods. I was in Luxor a year ago in November, and there's an inscription on a wall. A friend of ours, Faid, oh, what's his name? I'm missing his last name. He just died of kidney failure, which is very unfortunate. Great guy, an Egyptian guy, who was an archaeologist. And he read this thing for Louise and I on the wall, and it was endorsing Alexander the Great. It said, Alexander the Great is my heir, and it was signed Amen, which was the highest of the gods. And Alexander had actually had this thing put on the wall so that the Egyptians would think, after he conquered Egypt, so the Egyptians would think that he was, a good guy. So anyhow, there's these sounds that have been around forever that have particular... And then sound and light. There's the sound and light machines, these eye goggles and blinking lights and sounds that you can hear in your ears. And a lot of the chains of hypnosis centers now are using these things. where you put them on and they dial it up to 7 or 8 hertz, which is the theta frequency, the frequency of daydreaming or of trance. And then you listen to tapes about how to lose weight or stop smoking or whatever, and it just goes right into the brain. And there is music out where you've got binaural beats, where you've got two frequencies that have a 7 hertz offset, so that inside the brain there's this 7 hertz, 7 cycles per second binaural beat that is created that entrains the brain and puts it into a trance. A lot of fascinating stuff. The science of this is really interesting. And the thing about TV and radio is that there are three stages in the development of a child. One happens around the age of 3, one happens around the age of 7, and one happens around adolescence, where the brain releases what are called demyelinating chemicals. Myelin is this sheath that surrounds the nerve cells in the brain and protects them. It's made up mostly of a cholesterol-like substance. It's made out of essential fatty acids. And three times, it happens continuously in small form. It actually happens four times. Once is about the 7th month in utero. But after birth, three times in the life of a child, there are these primary demyelinations, the three primary demyelinations around the age of 3, which primarily hits the sensory motor strip, the part of the brain that has to do with coordination. And what it does is it wipes out a lot of the nerve cells. Between the time we're born and the time we hit puberty or adolescence, we lose about 15% of the total mass of our brain. These brain cells just get dissolved and flushed out in the urine. They're gone. And the reason the brain does this is to become more efficient. It's a sculpting process. It's like taking that block of marble and bringing David out of it. You know, it's as Michelangelo did. So the brain does this, and the one that happens around the age of 3 hits the part of the brain that controls coordination. So if you have a child who prior to the age of 3 is very good at fine and gross motor skills, then they can grow up to become a brilliant gymnast, for example. But if those skills are never developed, then once that demyelination happens around the age of 3, those nerve cells are gone, and they will never be able to develop those skills. Similarly, the primary demyelination that hits around the age of 7 seems to take out mostly the temporal lobes, the lateral parts of the brain, the side parts of the brain where Broca's and Wernicke's regions are, where we process language and we process sound and music. And this is the reason why, if a child develops perfect pitch before the age of 7, they will have it their entire lives. But if you have somebody who has never developed perfect pitch, who didn't learn to sing, who didn't learn about music prior to the age of 7, they will never be able to acquire perfect pitch. They may be able to learn how to sing, but it'll never be perfect. Similarly with languages. If you have somebody who learns a second or a third or even a fourth language, in Holland it's very common for people to speak four languages, Dutch, English, German, and French. These four languages are taught in the elementary schools from kindergarten on up in Holland. And so you find people who speak with very little accent. In some cases, no perceivable accent. We lived in Germany back in the 80s, and our youngest two children, one was 5 then and one was 7, and they both picked up German. And even though they were Americans, when we were leaving Germany, we were in a restaurant in Frankfurt in 87, and the waiter came over and said, in German, was möchten Sie, what would you like to eat? And I said in my clumsy German, I'd like this and so, and Louise said what she wanted, and Kinder, our oldest, ordered. And then our son, Justin, just started chattering with this guy, not just in German, but in German with a local dialect from the area that we had been living in the Frankenwald. And the guy gets this very concerned look on his face, and he leans over and says to Justin in German, he says, what are you doing with these Americans? Is everything okay? And I heard him, and I said, Justin, speak to him in English. And he goes, oh, that's my dad. And the guy, oh, it's tut mir leid. I'm so very sorry, you know. But the point is that a child younger than 7 can pick up a second language with all the nuance of that second language because they have the brain cells available. But our 13-year-old, who was in the German public schools and actually had a better vocabulary than our 5-year-old or our 7-year-old because she was studying this stuff every day, nobody would have mistaken her for a German. Everybody knew that she was an American. So when that demyelination happens around the age of 7, we lose our ability to easily learn a second language. We can still do it, but we have to use the visual part of the brain to process it. And they've actually done PET scan studies now where they've shown that people who learn a second language after the age of 7 store the information in the back of the brain rather than sides of the brain where language is normally processed. And then this third demyelination that happens around the age of 12, 13, 14 when we hit adolescence seems to hit the entire brain and sets in personality. And they've done studies where they found that the political opinions that people hold and the worldview that they have when they hit adolescence is pretty much the same one they'll have at the age of 70. That's the point at which it gets really set in. And, you know, the old biblical thing, train up a child in the way you would have him go and he will never depart from it. There's a reality to that. And so what happens in each one of these stages is that the pathways between the auditory and visual regions are getting more and more reinforced, heavier and heavier, thicker and thicker, more and more well protected as we listen and learn through listening. But when children watch TV and they're listening and learning at the same and hearing at the same time, those pathways don't get laid down. So when these demyelinations happen, they not only hit the specific regions, but they also wipe out the part that is responsible for our ability to learn. And I think what we're seeing right now, and there's this huge debate, why are our schools melting down? Why are kids not learning? Why are so many people seemingly so dumb? I think that we are seeing the results of a huge nationwide neurological experiment that has been going on for about 30 years. And it's a brand new thing in the experience of the human race. We've never before been exposed to a neurotoxic drug like television with the intensity that we have before. It's not about content. It's about the medium itself, which is something that you won't hear about or see on television. So anyway, kind of done that topic. Borowitz, Andy Borowitz, is a political satirist, I guess. His website is Borowitz, B-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z, report.com. And Louise tells me that one of these days we're going to get him on the air. This is great. His website, this is yesterday, June 24th, 2003. The headline, this is a spoof story. The headline says, "War in Iran would cost minimal change in graphics, Fox News says, but warns against costly conflict with North Korea." And then the story says, "Cable news giant Fox News Channel said today that a possible war with Iran would cost only a minimal change in on-air graphics, but warned against the much steeper costs of creating graphics for a fight with North Korea. Dirk Schlosson, a spokesman for Fox, said that many of the existing graphics used for Showdown Iraq could be easily and inexpensively retooled for a potential Showdown Iran. In many cases, all it's needed is changing one letter," Mr. Schlosson said. "Many images from Operation Iraqi Freedom could also be used for Operation Iranian Freedom," Mr. Schlosson said, "since both Iran and Iraq are, quote, extremely sandy places," end quote. And President Bush's speeches warning about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq could easily be redubbed to insert the word Iran, Mr. Schlosson added, saving the network untold millions in sound trucks, microphones, and cameras. While extremely upbeat on the possible cost savings of a potential war with Iran, the Fox spokesman was far less sanguine about the U.S. entering into an armed conflict with North Korea. Quote, "With North Korea, you're talking about building graphics from scratch, basically, which costs a fortune," Mr. Schlosson said. "That's the nightmare scenario," end of quote. Andy Borowitz, B-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z, BorowitzReport.com, humor. Political satire for the day. 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in Dallas is on the line. Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Say, I just wanted to make a couple comments about your observations on television. For the second time in my life, I've been without television for quite a long period of time now. And the comment there would be that I find that my stress level is much, much less reduced. And I also find that my attention span has gone up as I spend most of my time looking for news on the Internet and through other print sources. So I've I've gone back to more of that storytelling mode that you've mentioned.
Yeah. We had an experience similar to that with our kids. When I first read this in Joe Pierce's book back years ago, I mean, this was our 25-year-old was then like 13 or something like that. And we sat down with our kids and we said, "We'd like to try getting rid of the TV for 6 months. What's it going to take?" And we negotiated a deal with them. We basically had to buy them a certain number of movie tickets and things. You know? And we got rid of the TV. We put it out in the garage, told the cable company to come and get their box. And for 6 months, we had no television. I think I went through withdrawal worse than any of them.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of 6 months, Their grades had dramatically improved in school. Mm-hmm. Their social lives were better. They were different people. And we sat down with them and said, you know, okay, 6 months is up. What's it going to cost us to do another 6 months? And all three of them said, we don't want it back. And to this day, my kids are they're all grown up now and off on their own, and they will have very little to do with TV at all. Our middle child, our son, for years had a hard time finding a roommate because he wanted to live in an apartment when he was at college. He just graduated from the University of Georgia. He wanted to have an apartment without a television in it.
Sure.
And finding a roommate who would be willing to not have a TV was a real challenge.
Well, the other observation.
I'm sorry, I interrupted your story, Mark.
No. The other observation I have is correlated, or should I say it's related. About 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a young child from another family that was learning to read. And like many children today, as you were commenting earlier in the school system, spent a lot of time in their early years in front of television. And it took almost a year and a half to teach this child the concept of visualization while reading.
Right.
It's like it had already been subverted in the process of watching so much television.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happens, is they have to relearn it, and if they've watched a lot of television before the age of 5 or 6, mm-hmm. they've already gone through one of those three primary demyelinations, it can be a challenge.
Definitely. Fascinating topic.
Problem. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for calling, Mark. I appreciate your call. In fact, the program that Louise and I started in 1978, we started a community for abused children in New Hampshire. It's still there. It's called the New England Salem Children's Village in Rumney, New Hampshire, and one of the better programs in the state. It's run by an extraordinary woman, Jane Merrithew. And then 6 years ago, we started a school there called the Hunter School for ADHD kids. And we started this program back 25 years ago based on what we saw in Germany, a similar program there where they don't have any television, and for 25 years haven't had any television in the program in New Hampshire. And our rationale was a therapeutic one, that kids who had been severely abused would retreat into television to kind of hide out from the world and wouldn't then be available for interaction and therapeutic interventions and all those kinds of things. But I think that the positive consequence that we had of not having television and that we continue to have. I'm still on the board of directors of this organization. It's a volunteer thing that I've done for 20 years now. And that this not having TV is one of the most powerful therapeutic things for our kids. I think that this is one of the most radical things that a person can do in this culture as a statement of independence, is to get rid of the TV or dramatically cut it back. Say, you know, okay, in advance, we're going to watch 3 hours a week or something. You just think of it as a neurological drug. It's a concentrate of reality, which is one of the definitions of drug. It alters mood, another definition of drug. It alters brainwave patterns. You can watch EEG. People's brainwaves change. It creates a craving for more of the same. And finally, and perhaps most important, people will actually modify their lifestyles in order to have it available to them. This is the criteria for any kind of an addictive drug, and it turns out that all of these are very much the case with television. So, all things in moderation. Let's say that's probably the best thought on that, and we'll leave that with that. It's the topic that I didn't intend to get off on. I have a whole bunch of news here for the week, but the hour is sliding by. Thanks for being with us. Stick around. We'll be right back. Talk radio for the rest of us.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
For the best deals on Goodyear brand tires, let your nose lead you to the Goodyear Smell the Savings Tire Sale. You'll find huge savings on Goodyear passenger performance and light truck tires. Plus, get up to a $60 rebate with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. That's up to $60 back. So you'll save money and get the quality Goodyear tires you need. But you better hurry. These offers end July 12th. For complete details and the Goodyear store near you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer. At the briefing today,
the job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Molloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Molloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Molloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
She is, thank you, in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fantina is, oh, like, cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fantina.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm a walking in the rain, to the bowl I've been a pain, wishing you were here by me.
This is two rain songs back to back. Maybe the radio gods are telling us something. It's starting to get cloudy here in Vermont, so... Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. In our chat room, is an interesting discussion about this topic that it started out as a tangent and turned into a topic. That children, are they learning differently? Has society created this problem? We complain about class size. Let's see, Bob, find it. Kids are failing at the standardized test, perhaps because we really don't understand the best way to teach the current generation. And another person makes the point, you can't stop children from learning. That's true. And television, he says, think about television and gaming. The pictures move so quickly. Is it fair to think kids could learn from a system of a teacher standing in front of them? Of course, when they're used to this rapid fire, bang, 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 bang sort of thing. And, yeah, I think these are real. And so the question in my mind is, are we altering kids' brains or are we damaging them? And we know that there is a difference between people who watch television through childhood and people who don't. The question is it causing damage or not? And might this be somebody else who watched too much television when he was young?
We must also never forget the most vivid events of recent history.
Here's the visual part.
On September the 11th, 2001.
Tying that to...
America felt its vulnerability.
And let's tie it to...
Even to threats that gather on the other side of the earth.
Right. And then he goes on to talk about Saddam Hussein. This is the stitching together. If we don't have discrimination skills, if we don't have critical thinking skills, what's going to happen to America? Are we raising a generation that doesn't know how to critically think, to understand and evaluate, to look at a situation in many dimensions rather than just simple dimensions? What is the future of America? These are fundamental issues that I think it's very important that we start raising and waking people up to the way that we're producing the next generation of Americans. Day 97 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. The beat goes on here. Thanks for joining us. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
From the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.